Thank you, and be seated, please. What a super great joy it is for me to welcome you this morning to Conyers First United Methodist Church. If you're new here, I'm John Byers. I have the great privilege of being one of the ministers of this great church. And this is our second Sunday in the Youth Center. This is the first Sunday that Reverend Andrew has been with us. Last week, he and the youth were on their fall retreat. Let's all thank Reverend Andrew for giving us the privilege of using his space. Isn't it great? And were you touched by not only the message of the music today, but just the sincere quality? Can you tell those who are leading us in worship this morning are believing and living into what they're singing? I want to give a shout out of thanks for the spiritual leadership of our worship band. And Sarah, thank you for making this a time of worship for us early on Sunday morning. You know, there's only one thing we need to make this service complete, to have every chair filled. Amen. Do you believe that God is still in the heart-changing business? And do you believe that there are still hurting people that live in Conyers, Georgia, Rockdale County, and this part of East Metro Atlanta? Then I invite you to invite somebody and promise them that they will be welcomed in this place. Well, let's prepare to hear the Word of God today. This morning, I'm beginning our four-week stewardship series as we think about our response to the goodness of God in our lives. And I've titled this series, R.E., Exploring the Essential Element of a Faithful Life. Now, I want to take you back to 10th grade chemistry. Can you picture your chemistry teacher? Can you picture, if you are from my era, the Bunsen burners? I don't know if we're allowed to have Bunsen burners in chemistry class, but at Dunwoody High School in the 10th grade, we had Bunsen burners in the Ms. Broadway's advanced chemistry class. And one of the images I have in my mind is the enormous periodic table that was plastered to the side of the wall. Do you remember the enormous? Are you with me? The enormous periodic table of chemical elements? I have chosen to title this series based on one of those periodic elements, and it is noted on the periodic table as RE, which stands for rhenium. It is one of the rarest elements of the Earth's crust, not discovered until 1925. And it was noted as the last naturally occurring stable element in the Earth's crust. I want to repeat those words. Naturally occurring stable element in the Earth's crust. Now, rhenium, when it's put to a positive use, is used to strengthen super alloys and helps us be able to make jet engines to fly across the ocean. Rhenium, when added to gasoline, can supercharge its octane level. Pretty cool stuff. I want to ask you a question as we begin this teaching series for the month of October. Do you ever feel like your faith, your hope, your heart needs to be strengthened and supercharged? Do you ever wish, pray, hope for that stable catalyst that can be the stuff to give you super strength and supercharge to face the challenges of living life every day? Do you? Do you ever read the Bible and long for that deeper, more rare faith experience like the men and women who lived in Bible times experienced? The supercharging power of God. Do you ever long for that? Well, the good news, that was not a very strong yes. Say it again. Yes! The good news of God's Word. The good news of God's character is this. God is the R.E. of life. Because I've discovered that He alone is the last stable thing that you and I can really count on. So R.E., RE is the title of this series. And I want to begin today with one of my favorite RE words from the Bible. And that RE word is redeem, which means to purchase back, to make useful again, to call into service in a way that is positive. I love to fly. I guess I inherited that trait from my dad. In his traveling years as an executive, he racked up more than 4 million lifetime miles on Delta Airlines, not including all the countless miles he flew on other air carriers as he was flying to the Middle East, as he was flying to the State of Israel, as he was flying to Asia. My dad lived on a Delta airplane when I was a little boy. I've only gotten to know him since he retired. He was always gone. I love to fly. I remember years ago, the first time I flew into New York City. It was just before Christmas, and it was a bright, clear day. And as we prepared to land, I looked out my window and I saw two of the most magnificent landmark buildings. The Statue of Liberty, straight and high to the clouds. And then that iconic Art Deco Chrysler building with its unique top. Just for a moment, I even caught a glimpse way in the distance of Lady Liberty herself holding up the torch, welcoming the world to the shores of the United States of America. I was excited to be landing in New York until the guy sitting next to me, a rather gruff New York type, if you know what I mean, says, "You just landed on the garbage dump of New York City." Now, I was so shocked by what he said, I replied with the most eloquent, "Huh?" Actually, he was right. Later, I learned that LaGuardia Airport is built not on soil, but on a landfill. Reclaimed garbage that made it possible for long runways to be built. Mayor LaGuardia flew his first flight on a TWA jet, but the only airport that could service that jet was in Newark, New Jersey, across the river. He was so upset by that, he said, "This ticket says New York. I am flying to New York, not New Jersey." And in 1937, he and some engineers came up with a plan, and here was the plan. They would reclaim all of the waste, all of the garbage, all of the refuge from the city of New York and use it to extend the land mass. When I landed in New York City for the very first time at LaGuardia Airport, indeed, I landed on the garbage dump of the city of New York, and I was impressed. It's amazing what engineers, no doubt Georgia Tech engineers, it's amazing what engineers can do. I mean, they figured out a way to take something that was utterly useless garbage and turn it into something that was incredibly useful ground upon which runways for airplanes could be built. I've thought about that across the years, but I've discovered that there's a greater engineer even than those who built LaGuardia Airport. He's the master engineer of them all. He's the one that created the heavens and the earth, who spoke, and all that we know came into being. The one who breathed the breath of life into you and me. And here's what I've discovered about that master engineer. He is a genius at taking what most people would discard, the garbage, the mistakes, the brokenness of life, and redeeming them. Reclaiming them, taking what was declared useless and making it useful for the kingdom of God. Confession is an incredibly important part of my spiritual life. And one of these days I want to teach about confession, because I believe confession is the doorway that opens our hearts and our minds to the very presence of the Lord. It's that act of worship that says, "Lord, I desperately need you. And I'm willing to admit that there is some garbage in my life that needs to be dealt with." And in my own prayer life, I really like the words of Psalm 51. This is King David's prayer of confession. And Psalm 51, it's a really important setting, not just the words, but the setting, because David has just committed that incredibly debilitating sin of adultery with Bathsheba, and he's trying to cover it up. He's trying to cover it up by having his friend Bathsheba's husband murdered on the battlefield. He was his friend. He was one of his most loyal servants. It's amazing what garbage in your life will cause you to do. I guess if there was a title that we could put to Psalm 51, it might be David in the Dump. And I love the words of Psalm 51. And I want to share some of these words from Psalm 51. And I want you to hear how David talks about the garbage in his life. Now, instead of reading from one of the standard translations, I'd like to expand your thinking a bit by quoting you from the paraphrase, The Message. Dr. Eugene Peterson puts David's experience before God, David in the dump, with these words. Generous in love, God, give grace. Huge in mercy, God, wipe out my bad record. Scrub away my guilt. Soak out my sins in your laundry. I know how bad I've been. My sins are staring me down. You're the one I violated, and you've seen it all, seen the full extent of my evil. You have all the facts before you. Whatever you decide about me is fair. I've been out of step with you for a long time, in the wrong since before I was born. When what you're after is truth from the inside out, enter me then. Conceive a new, true life. Soak me in your laundry and I'll come out clean. Scrub me and I'll have a snow white life. Turn me into foot-tapping songs. Set these once broken bones to dancing. Don't look too close for blemishes. Give me a clean bill of health. God, make a fresh start in me. Shape a Genesis week out of the chaos of my life. Don't throw me out with the trash, or fail to breathe holiness into me. Bring me back from gray exile. Put a fresh wind in my sails. Give me a job teaching rebels your ways so the lost can find their way home. Commute my death sentence, God, my salvation, God, and I will sing anthems to your life-giving ways. This was a man who knew what it was like to be caught in the garbage dump of life, and he is the one that created the garbage. What we learn from Psalm 51, which is so redeeming to me, is that God acknowledged David's guilt, God forgave David's guilt, but God did something incredibly important in the midst of this experience. He took the garbage of life and used it to build a foundation for a ministry. Here's the way David puts it: give me a job, give me a ministry, teaching rebels, people like me, people who have made the same mistakes I've made, teaching rebels your ways. Why? So the lost can find their way home. The greatest good news that I can share today as we begin this series is this: God does not want you to pretend you're trash in there. And God doesn't want you living in the midst of your trash. God, through His Word, gives an open invitation and a promise that if you will let Him, God will take your trash and use it to build a foundation for something great. Now, David's not the only one that experienced this in life. Heck, if we're really honest with most of the characters in the Bible, we'd have to admit they all had fatal flaws, didn't they? Incredibly fatal flaws. But they were redeemed by acknowledging their flaw, giving God their garbage, and letting God do something with that garbage that was redemptive. Hey, Saul of Tarsus had that experience. Remember Saul, before he becomes St. Paul, the great missionary to the Gentiles? He breathed out murder against those who were followers of the way. His life's goal was to kill every follower of Jesus Christ, and he was proud of his life's goal, and he did it in the name of God. Until the day that Jesus met him on the road to Damascus, and everything changed. The garbage of his life then became the foundation for his ministry. And unless you were born into a Jewish family, was anybody here born into a Jewish family? Praise the Lord, you're a completed believer now. Every person in this room is here because St. Paul gave God his garbage. And God used that garbage to build a ministry of hope. We could tick off lots of other characters in the Bible that have the same story, but my mind is drawn to Jesus, who was crucified in the garbage dump outside the walls of the city of Jerusalem. The stink, the filth, the squalor into which the cross of Christ was sunk. And I believe with all that's in me, through his shed blood upon the cross, he sanctified that garbage. And he wants to sanctify your garbage too, and use it as a foundation for somebody else to build their life. Hey, this was the vision of the famous mayor of New York City, Fiorello LaGuardia, in 1937. He reclaimed the garbage of that city and used it for something great. And I believe today that God will, if you will let him, reclaim the garbage that defines your life and build a firm foundation for a ministry outreach for somebody else. Think about it this way. I believe today God's calling you to be a runway, just like the runway at LaGuardia Airport. What do I mean by that? A runway makes it possible for somebody else to take off and soar because of the strong foundation that you've laid. A runway makes it possible for somebody to land safely and securely. We would not have modern air flight if it were not for strong runways like the runways laid on the garbage dump of the city of New York. I invite you to open your Bibles with me to our scripture lesson today, because I believe this is what St. Peter is talking about. Would you look toward the back of your New Testament to 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. 1 Peter, toward the back of your New Testament, God created a table of contents. God inspired the little thummy things on the side of your Bibles. Never be embarrassed if you're not sure where a book is. I want you to find the book and the verse. 1 Peter 1, beginning in verse 3, St. Peter writes, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Why? In his great mercy. Aren't you glad that Peter calls God a God of mercy? I need mercy. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth. See, the assumption is we're dead. We're living, but we're not alive. We're breathing, but we don't know why. He has given us new birth, and he defines it this way, into a living hope. I believe every person on the face of the earth needs hope more than any single thing in life. Hope. And he ties this hope how? To the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance. Something you and I can't buy. Something you and I can't negotiate, not coerce. It is a gift given based on our relationship with the Father, capital F. into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed at the last time. Now look in verse 6. This is the key for me. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. Now, I don't want to corrupt the Greek here, but I'd like to suggest we could substitute the word grief with garbage. Emotional, spiritual, relational, financial garbage. Though now for a little while you may have had to suffer garbage in all kinds of trials, Peter knows that life accumulates garbage. And he wants to know what you're going to do with it. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result, garbage, may result in praise, honor, and glory when Jesus Christ is revealed. Have I told you lately how proud I am to be the senior minister of this great church? It's not because you're the best-looking, best-educated congregation in town. It's not just because of your stunning good looks. It's because you and I are creating here a place where I see every day people who are trapped beneath a load of garbage being redeemed. Men and women who are coming to this place saying, I'm not going to pretend I don't have garbage anymore. I'm not going to deny my garbage. Would you help me with my garbage? And I am seeing day after day through the mission outreach of our church, through our care and counseling center ministry, through the incredible work that Mr. Stanley is doing in our children's department, Reverend Andrew is doing in our youth department, our ambassadors who go and put their arms around our shut-in and homebound people who feel like they are has-beens. I see men and women being redeemed every day and finding their purpose. And I'm convinced the most powerful ministers in this church are those that have let God use their garbage, their heartbreaking life experience, to be a foundation upon which a runway can be built. A runway so somebody else who's caught can take off and soar. A runway who, for somebody who's just flying around in circles, lost, can land and find security and hope. That's why these words from Psalm 51 mean so much to me. Let me read them again. God, make a fresh start in me. Shape a Genesis week from the chaos of my life. Don't throw me out with the trash or fail to breathe holiness in me. Bring me back from gray exile. Put a fresh wind in my sails. Give me a job, a ministry, teaching rebels your ways, so the lost can find their way home. We're in stewardship season. And the reason I take a month in the autumn to talk about stewardship is because it's what we give that makes ministry possible, that makes redemption possible. I'm not talking about bricks and mortars and bills and mortgages, though I'm grateful for the spaces that we've inherited from our forefathers and mothers. I'm grateful for the spaces that we're paying for together every month. We're paying for together. But I give enthusiastically and with a full heart, not because I'm commanded to, not because I'm told to, not because I have to, but I live to see lives redeemed from the garbage pit. And I have the incredible oversight. I wish you could sit with me sometimes and see all of the way lives are being redeemed through this place because you and I are faithful and ministry is possible. Re is the essential element of a faithful life because God is the re, the only one that we can really count on. I'm really pleased this morning to present to you my friend Lindy Donahue, who's been a part of our lives for the last few years. And I've asked her to come and share a personal witness about how she has seen the Lord redeem others through this church, how she herself has been redeemed through this church, and why she enthusiastically gives to the Lord with a full heart. Now, it's a little nerve-wracking to be up here, so would you clap as this fine spirit? Do you want to use this?
Sure.
Can I stand with you?
Absolutely. Okay. From the outside, I've always seemed like an outgoing, happy, and talkative person. Through some tough childhood experiences, I learned at an early age to put on that front. For a long time, that's the person I presented. On the inside, I was confused and flat out lost. I thought I knew who God was and that there was nothing that He could do for me. I grew up in a different denomination and felt like if I could finally attend Mass every Sunday and go to confession with a priest once a week and not commit any sin, I could receive God's blessing and my life would finally be straightened out. It would finally be okay. I had the religion covered, but I was missing out on the most important thing, the relationship. At the prompting of my Aunt Gail, I finally agreed to come to church with her at Conyers First in early June of 2009. To be honest, the contemporary service was so far out of my comfort zone, I didn't know if I could do it. I watched you guys worship, and I saw something in your faces that I wanted. When you sang, it looked like you meant what you were singing. Dr. John was so engaging, and something about the way he taught the Word of God made me yearn for more. I remember him saying that he wanted us to know that we know that we know. Could I ever know? I kept coming back and officially joined Conyers First about 6 weeks later. I haven't looked back since. I've learned that God is in the transformation business.
Amen.
Once He touches a heart, He will not leave it the same. Through the sermons, classes, and fellowship, God reached me. God used all of you, my church family, to reach me and lead me to Him. I feel His presence each Sunday when I walk in this room and feel the love from each of you. I can now say with confidence that the person I present myself as is who I am. I know that I know that I know. How could I ever say thank you? What gift could ever be enough? How could I honor God for the gift of His Son? I could never give enough or do enough or serve enough to thank Him for that gift. God has blessed me so abundantly. How could I ever? I give joyfully because I accept the charge that I am a disciple of Christ and refuse to deny my obligation as such. My heart has been transformed by God as a direct result of Conyers First and its generosity to me. What incredible honor I have to give back.
what we do on October 30th as a congregation together will determine how many others we can reach for Jesus Christ. This week, you're going to be receiving a letter from me, and inside, you will have your very own RE from the periodic table, and it's our commitment cards for 2012. And those of you who are regular givers will receive that letter from me. If you're not, then there will be cards available for you on October the 30th, when as a church family together, we're going to come and make a commitment, a cheerful, joyful commitment, to be in the redeeming business for 2012. I hope you'll put your commitment card in a prominent place and pray over it together individually, perhaps as a family, as you ask God for the grace and the courage to live into His call for a dime, for every dollar, to simply say, Lord, do it for others. Lord, someone else invested a dime of every dollar to reach me. God, in 2012, I want to invest a dime of every dollar that I earn to reach somebody else for Jesus Christ. Lindy, thank you for being an example of a life that has been changed. As we conclude our service this morning, I'd like for you to practice the gift of generosity by preparing your morning offering, making it possible for our church to continue to reach others with the redeeming love of Jesus. I also invite you to find the green connection card in your worship folder, and I just really appreciate it if you'd fill it out so we can know of your presence today. And on the back side is an opportunity for you to take another step, and I hope one of the steps that you'll take is the step of memorizing God's Word from 1 Peter 1, 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth, new life, redemption of the garbage of our lives. There are other opportunities for you to communicate with me. If you were like Lindy and you don't know that you know that you know, if there's any question in your life about the garbage that's still there, about whether God loves you or could even possibly love you, I would be so honored to spend some time with you personally and pray and encourage you. Other opportunities to learn about membership in this great congregation. Then at the bottom, a chance for you to share your heartbeat with me. I love Tuesdays when I quiet myself away and I feel your heartbeats. I pray with and for you by name and by need before the cross. And this week, can I tell you where I'm going to be praying? Can I tell you? It's not going to be here. It's going to be in the little parish church of St. Andrew in Epworth, England. Epworth is north of London in the middle of nowhere, but it is the place where the Reverend Samuel Wesley and his wife Susanna reared 10 little Wesley children, two of whom are named John and Charles, two of my all-time heroes. I have been appointed in ways that is it Monday yet? Is it time to go yet is all I can say, to be an international trustee of the 300-year-old Epworth Old Rectory. It's 300 years old and it's going through its first historic restoration. And I'm so pleased that the World Methodist Council has appointed me a trustee. So on Tuesday, that's before the trustees and development meeting, I'm going to go to St. Andrew's Parish, which is 350 years old, and I'm going to pray for you at the altar of the church, where God blessed a little 5'2", little uptight British clergyman with an experience of the Holy Spirit of God on May 24, 1738, and the Methodist Revival Movement began. Then I'm going to go outside, and I'm going to visit with Reverend Samuel. He's buried there in the churchyard. And I'm going to be thinking of you Would you take just a moment and know that I'm going to be taking your prayer cards to London tomorrow and praying for you on Tuesday. I invite our band to return to share some music, and then the offering baskets will come, and I invite you to leave your offering and your connection card there. God does not want you living one more moment without having the assurance that you're chosen. I didn't say you're perfect. I didn't say your journey's over, but that you're chosen. And I think that's the best place for the spiritual journey to begin, to know you're chosen. Now, we got a lot of work to do, but you're chosen. Do you know you're chosen? I want you to internalize the truth that no matter what the garbage is in your life, you're chosen. So God gave these words to Moses, to give Aaron, to give all the ministers of his church, these words of chosen blessing. Would you please rise? And now, as always, my friends, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you, his healing and approving smile. And best yet, give you peace, perfect peace. And I mark you now in the name of the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen and good morning.